I'm going to go into a little bit of the fear of God, because we need this firm foundation. The fear of God is learned. And it's an important question now. Do you have the fear of God? Do you find the fear of God in churchianity today? Do we even know what the fear of God is? Without the fear of God, it is sure that we will perish. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Wisdom and knowledge of the Word of God will soon provide the only stability of the days that are now at hand, brethren. The Word of God and your knowing Him, not just knowing about Him, but your knowing Him and obeying Him, will soon be your only source of strength and salvation. The only treasure that is really worth seeking now is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Did you know that? Have you found His treasure? The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Did you know that? You can find it in Isaiah 33:6, that the fear of the Lord is His treasure. Yeshua tells us in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You feel love sometimes? Hallelujah. But God's people are being tribulated today. God's people are being chastened. And a lot of people don't understand this. But Revelation 13:19 is so clear on this. As many as I love, the Lord Jesus says, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, God really loves some of you guys. He really loves you, R.W., James. He loves us all more than we can understand. And often the real proof of it is not the hugs as much as it is the spankings. And most parents understand what I'm talking about. But as it was in the days of Noah, we have become a people that cannot be reproved or rebuked. Have you noticed that? No generation of people probably ever has needed reproof and rebuke like we do. And just like as in the days of Noah, we have become a people that cannot be reproved or rebuked. We just hate it. It doesn't feel good. And it still don't feel good, does it? No. But brethren, we've got to learn to receive this as what it really is, an excellent oil. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves and chastens. But in this time, we have grown to despise reproof and rebuke and correction and instruction in righteousness. And this is why you see people poofing in and poofing out. Because you can't hear too much of the Word of God without being reproved of something. And see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to make us holy. Glory to God. By the way, He quickens that Word to us. But sadly, we're a people and a generation who do not seek and will not hear reproof and rebuke and righteous judgment. That's a description of the people who we are today worldwide. And churchdom and churchianity today has been reduced to just be nice. Oh, we're taught feigned affection. Yes, we are. Just be nice. Brethren, Yeshua is the truth. And the truth is often offensive and not nice. Paul even had to say to the Galatians, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You see, Adam was being nice when he followed Eve, who wanted that nice fruit at the suggestion of the nice serpent. That should tell us what nice is all about. Nice comes from the Latin word nuceus. And back before gay meant sodomite, nice used to mean ignorant, stupid, and wanton. Brethren, much truth today is offensive. And a lot of people might have been offended by the word tonight. And yet, those who were able to endure were strengthened. Our faith will not stand in the wisdom of men, but only in the power of God, which is found as the fear of God moves us to the truth of the Word of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Because he's done a good enough job of judging himself by that word. See, the word judges all of us. Do you know someone who's spiritual enough to judge you? Do you seek righteous judgment? Or do you just seek confirmation and affirmation? Yeshua said, pay close attention to this. In other words, take heed. When you see that, take heed. When you ever see Yeshua saying, take heed, that means don't miss this. This is very important when Yeshua says, take heed. Luke 17:3. Take heed to yourselves. This is for us. We don't want to miss this. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Oh, I don't fear God. I love God. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Oh, I cringe when I hear people saying that. It means they don't even know him. Oh, I don't fear God. I love him. If you don't fear God, you don't even know him. Only a fool would not fear a God who hath power to cast into hell. Jesus said so. Don't tell me you love God. Show me. And there's only one way to demonstrate that you love God. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Those who regard and strive to keep the laws of God are not legalists. Keeping the laws of God is not what makes a legalist. Those who regard and strive to keep the laws of God are obedient. They fear God. And their regard for his laws proves that they know him and have responded to his love. They are proving their response to the love of God to themselves. See, and I don't care what you think about me. I really don't. I care a lot what God thinks about me. I care what Betty thinks about me. And if you all think bad about me, that's all right. I don't really expect you to think much else. You see, but what God thinks is important. And I want to prove it to myself that I love God. I want to prove it to myself that I know God. And God gave me a way to prove it to me. So whether you know I know God or not is not important. But it's very important for me to know that I know God. See, most people don't give a rip about what God thinks. They care a lot about what the people think of them. And this is all wrong, brethren. It's very wrong. I really strive to not be concerned what you or any other religious churchman thinks. I really strive for that. You say, well, that's not nice, Jim. That's right. Jesus wasn't nice. If you think Jesus was nice, you don't know him. Jesus never was ignorant, stupid, or wanton. No, that's not the real Jesus. Well, I never heard things like this. Well, about time you do. See, if you think that keeping the law of God, those Ten Commandments, is legalism, if you don't think that's obedience, you've been deceived. And you've bought a very strong delusion. And there's a lot of strong delusions going on nowadays. The Toronto Blessing, the Pensacola Revival, that's strong delusion. And what it does is it makes people in this Laodicean apostate church today be taught to just be nice. It teaches people in the churches in this great apostasy not to judge. Well, brethren, we've got a duty. See, we don't judge those who are outside of the body. But this room just happens to be located in the Christianity section. And we have a right to assume that people come in here are Christians. We have a right to make that assumption, but nevertheless, it's still an assumption, and it's not wise to make assumptions. Especially when the Word of God commands us to prove all things. And that's especially important when it comes to spiritual matters. It's especially important that we test the spirits to see if they are of God. It's amazing how few seem to see what's wrong with the prosperity gospel today, the teaching that gain is godliness. It's amazing how few seem to see that Lucifer is real happy to make you feel good in whatever strong delusion you have that is taking you to hell. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate, saith the Lord. You know what a froward mouth does? Just can't stand it when people are getting along. And try and bust it up. How beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. The Lord hates the froward mouth. Froward means perversity or fraud. And may I say to you that I think it is froward to reduce Christianity to just being nice. It is froward not to judge. It is froward not to reprove. It is froward not to rebuke. It is froward not to correct. It is froward not to instruct in righteousness those who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Whoa, that's a little different, isn't it? I'm telling you, brethren, I've read this Bible. I've read it many a time. And this is what the Bible teaches. And shout me down if it's not. See, folks who love and strive to obey God's laws are not legalists. They're obedient, and they may have the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than honey in the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Has the Holy Spirit called you and you have refused to hear His convicting voice? Could we have even despised the blood of Yeshua? Yeshua has stretched out His hands to be crucified in our place, to pay the penalty for us, and to empower us by the Holy Spirit to go and sin no more. Could we have been so strongly deluded that we have allowed the sacrifice of the blood of Yeshua to be so disregarded and rejected that it has become a license to sin, or an excuse to sin, or an excuse to continue sinning? There's a place where the Word of God says, "But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall you call upon me. but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. If you have ears to hear, I hope you hear this. You will either fear God rightly or you will fear everything else. I'm going to say it again. You will either fear God or you will fear everything else. You will either fear God properly or you will soon fear everything else. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Do you understand the fear of the Lord? Do you have the treasure of the fear of the Lord? If thou seekest for this treasure as silver and searchest for it as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Wouldn't it be good? I tell you what, there's only one place of refuge, and that is for the children of God. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. You know, I used to wonder about this years ago when I was first beginning to walk in a higher level of faith, and as I would minister faithfully in faith, based upon what God said, I would often be accused of pride. Because, you see, the fear of the Lord brings a strong confidence. And that strong confidence often is thought to be pride. And the Lord quieted my heart once, because I was really troubled about it. And He says, Jim, it's impossible to make the charge of pride without the affliction. You're a vain creature. I said, whoa, yeah, that's true, Lord. Yeah, I really am. He says, so is everybody else. I didn't want to do it that way, but I had to. I want worship that's worth something. I deserve worship that's worth something. I'm worthy of worship. And you don't get worship that's worth anything out of a robot. I didn't make you a robot. I wanted you to choose to worship me. I wanted you to choose to serve me. I wanted you to make the right choice. You're free to choose me, or you're free to go to hell. Whoa, wow. Pretty simple. Yeah, it is pretty simple. It really is pretty simple, brethren. But the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. The righteous are bold as a lion, and the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Destruction shall be to those who work iniquity, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We saw how somebody humbled themselves And as he was humbling himself, he gave the greatest example. He gave great glory to God as he humbled himself. It's awesome. It's just awesome, brethren. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's the only way people are going to stop sinning, is by the fear of the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Don't envy sinners. We don't envy the people that have a room of 200 people in it. No, we don't. Let not thine heart envy sinners. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You want me to get right to the bottom line? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You want the bottom line? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Brethren, let me give you the key to it. Just understand, you ain't going to put nothing over on God. Oh, you can fool me. You want to fool me? I'm easy. You want to fool the rest of the church folk? They're easy. You want to fool yourself? You're easy too. But if you think you can, for one second, get away with God not knowing what's going on, you have just deceived yourself. Understand that God knows every thought we think. God knows every move we make, every word we speak, and He knows every thought we think. And if you will just remember that, that'll keep you in the fear of God. You think God don't know what you're doing? Is that what you think? You think God doesn't know what you're doing? That's stupid. Somebody ought to love you enough to tell you that's stupid. If you think God doesn't know what you're doing, say, Jim, you shouldn't get so loud. I want you to hear me. It is stupid if you think God does not know what you're doing. What good does it do for every person in the world to think you're the nicest person that there is? You're as good as the Pope. What good is that if you're going to hell? No, brethren, this will keep you in the fear of God. It really will keep you in the fear of God. Just never forgetting that God sees what you're doing. God knows what you're thinking. And if you will remember that God knows what you're thinking, it'll clean up what you're thinking. And the battlefield is in the mind. And when we start thinking right, then eventually we're going to start acting right. When we start thinking right, then we're going to start acting right. And until you start thinking right, you're not going to act right. You're going to continue to live in the deception of your own self. But that is really the bottom line. Last couple of verses in Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Nobody knows I'm doing it. You think you're getting away with it? Oh, you'd be better off if people did know what you were doing. So you didn't get away with it. Don't forget it. I don't know. And it's a common affliction. We all do this. Oh, brethren, don't think I don't do this just because I'm preaching this thing. No, we all fall into this from time to time. But you want to walk in the fear of God, just remember, God knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're doing. Even if nobody in the world, including yourself, does, God knows. And it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. The awful punishment of unbelievers is coming. It's time to enter the ark. It's time to get into the rock. Who is the rock? Yeshua, Messiah, is our rock. And their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Christ Jesus is the rock. Only he can protect us. And we will either fear God rightly, or we will soon fear everything else. And all will soon fear the Lord, one way or another. What's coming, all will soon fear the Lord. And the wise will fear him now. If you're wise, you will fear God now. If you're really smart, you will fear God now. Not one will stand outside the rock before the glory of his majesty. All the lofty looks of man shall soon be humbled, and all the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. All the false humility of men will be exposed and brought down. Only fools think that they can fool God. Only fools think they can hide anything from God. Only fools think that God does not know what they do and what they think. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day that's soon coming. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up. And he shall be brought low. All who think they are high and lifted up will be burned up. The military might of America is coming down. There will be no strong, high towers left in America. America's ships, even entire carrier battle groups, will be destroyed. The pride of the people will be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low. The day is coming soon when the Lord alone shall be exalted, and all the idols he shall utterly abolish. I'll tell you what, there ain't going to be much left when the elements melt. I was taught in chemistry that's impossible. I'll tell you what, if God said he's going to melt them elements, he made them, he can melt them. Not much going to be left standing when the elements melt, really. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. I hope you can hear good now. I think it's important that we talk about the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, and go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The rock, Yeshua Messiah, is the stem of Jesse. The rock is the branch grown out of the roots of Jesse, and to him alone belong the throne of David. Only Yeshua Messiah will finally stand in glory on his holy temple mount in Jerusalem. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He is the ark. He is the rock. And apart from him, there will be no man that lives. Only he can make anyone have true understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, and neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, because he knows what is within men. He knows the thoughts and intents of the hearts of all men, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. At his word the creation came to be, and by his word shall the earth be made to tremble, and the mountains and even the elements be made to melt with fervent heat. God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, allowed us to be alive today. And if you don't know what it means to be alive in this time, then you're sleeping. It is very amazing and exciting to see what God is doing today in our lifetime. We should consider ourselves to be greatly blessed to be alive at this time. But to whom much is given, much is required as well. Moses looked for this day and didn't see it. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Elijah, David, even Paul the Apostle, they all looked for this day and did not see it. And that's why it's very essential for us to realize the importance of the word, to whom much is given, much is required. Most of us have no clue what that really means. You see, Moses lived for us. Oh, yeah. Abraham lived for us. Jacob, Isaac, all the rest of them, they lived for us. Now all these things, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Who do you think that means? If nobody else will tell you, that's us, brethren. Looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He went to the cross for you and me. We who were no people, as we were not even to be born for almost 2,000 years, he went to the cross for us. We had no God in this world, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. I'm just giving you the word of God. It applies to us, yeah, whether we like it or not. It applies to us. We were reserved for eternal damnation, which is what we deserve, every one of us, so that God would be justified in everything he does. You and I were given a chance that is very, very unprecedented. We were given a chance to know God as Lord and Savior. All that Moses knew was that God came down on Mount Sinai. He knew his power. He saw the pillar of fire by night and that pillar of cloud by day. They saw the manna that fell from heaven. They saw the water gushing forth out of that rock. But that's all they knew. No wonder most of the prophets could not comprehend this Messiah, this God who would become a human being. It was mind-boggling. They never understood it. They faithfully gave us what God told them to give us, but they didn't understand a lot of it. The angels even, they don't know him as Savior. They cannot even behold his face. The Bible says that you and I, the people of today, that those things which were hidden from time immemorial, will be made clear to us by the Holy Ghost. We are the people to whom the hidden treasures of God will be revealed. And for that reason, I say, we are the most blessed generation of all time. Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, said that the generation which would see the things that we are seeing happen is the last generation. We will see the Son of God coming back in glory. No generation is more blessed than that generation which would see what we are seeing. We are the most blessed generation of all time. And at the same time, we're the most wicked and the most unreprovable. It's amazing. But because of that, we better start understanding some things. To whom much is given, much is required. We have to be meticulously serving God. They asked the Apostle Paul. They said, "Art thou a Roman?" He said, "Yea." And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." I tell you, brethren, people today who do not make full use of what privileges and freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us are to be pitied. If those who lived many years ago looked forward to today and never saw it, how much more should you and I, who have seen it, how much more should we make good use of it? And this is what I'm trying to say to you. I mean, we heard the word tonight. It's a strong word, a powerful word, an important word that few had ears to hear. But without the treasure of the fear of the Lord, soon all anybody is going to have is the fear of what's coming on this world. And that is dreadful. So we do have an opportunity to make better use of what God has prepared from time immemorial. And if we don't use it, we will be of all men most miserable. Wherefore he saith, we just heard this the other night, wherefore he saith, "Arise, thou that sleepest." Yeah, remember that? Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, "Arise, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light." And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. What a blessed hope we have. Let us. See, it's not talking about Moses or Abraham. Do you see this, brethren? Let us. It's not talking about Moses or Abraham. It's talking about us. Let us, who are of the day. What day is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord. Let us, who are of the day, be sober, walking in the fear of the Lord. If you think us, who are of the day, is talking about Abraham, you're making a mistake. Let us, who are living today, children of light, who are us who are of the day, we better be sober. Do you know what it means to be sober? Do you know what it means to be sober? There are people who don't know what it means to be sober. I was one of them. Before the Lord God had mercy, I didn't know what it meant to be sober. But let us who are of the day be sober and walk in the fear of God. You know, we could say that the fear of the Lord is not being drunk. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about that? The fear of the Lord is not being drunk. Well, are you drunk? Why would God want us to be sober if you're not drunk? And this is not just talking about being drunk. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to know what's going on. People that are walking through this world and don't know what's going on, it's like they're drunk. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. That means we're supposed to know what's going on, what's happening. See then that you walk circumspectly. We just heard this on Sabbath. R.W. give it to us. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly means exactly, diligently, perfectly. To walk circumspectly is to walk in the fear of the Lord. Why do I need to be sober and walk circumspectly in the fear of the Lord? What does this word and command mean to us in this day, in this time, who are the people of God in this day? What does it mean? First, we read, awake from sleep, arise from the dead, and Messiah shall give thee light. And again we see it. Therefore, let us not sleep. It's telling those who are sleeping to wake up. It's telling us who are of the day, this group of people, which you and I are included in, we are to sober up. Let us not sleep. Let us be sober. I'm telling you, this is not for everybody. This is for those people who are of the day. There are people who are of the day, living in this day, who are not with us, who are of the day. It's not for those who are of the night. It is not for those who are of the darkness. It is not for those soundly sleeping in pre-trib la-la land. It's not for those who do not want to be reproved, rebuked, and corrected. It's not for those who do not regard and strive to obey the law of God. It's not for those who do not know God. It's not for those who want to be nice rather than bear the offense of the truth. It is not for those who do not have the fear of God. If you walk in the fear of God, you are of the day, and it is for you. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, how does this match up with being sober and walking in the fear of the Lord? Do you have to be sober to know how to put on a helmet? Do you have to be sober to know how to love? Is it love if it's not based on the truth? No. No. No, it's flattery. If it's not based on the truth, it's not love. Yes, hard word. And maybe it's too late for such a hard word as this. I don't know. But I hope that you've come to the point in your life that you no longer worry about what you're going to say. If God wants me to say something, it's not my word anyway. If He doesn't give it to me, I'd rather shut my mouth. I'll read His word. A sacred and biblically sanctioned practice which is lost in modern churchianity. There are many preachers that always want to say something, even when God is not speaking. I pray God doesn't allow me to speak unless He wants to speak through me. We'd be better off a lot of times just reading the Word of God to the people of God. There's an article on the website. I don't know if you've all read it or not, but there's a difference between sin and iniquity, and it's important to know what that difference is, because iniquity is the only thing going to keep any of us sinners out of heaven. Sin isn't going to keep you out of heaven. We're all sinners. Iniquity will, though. So you ought to know the difference. And if you haven't looked at it, I'll tell you, that was a direct revelation from God. I had never studied it. I had never even considered it before it came out of my mouth one Sabbath. That understanding of how serious iniquity is and the difference between sin and iniquity, it's a pretty important word. I believe it was from the Lord for us who are of the day, for God's people in this time, for God's people that walk in the fear of God. See, I don't want a show. The time for putting on a show is over, brethren. If it's a show, I don't want any part of it. There are still those who are putting on a show. The issue is, whose servant are you? Are you God's servant? You a man pleaser or a God pleaser? You a people pleaser or a God pleaser? You a self pleaser or a God pleaser? That's the question. Now, if God doesn't want you to move, would you move? Even if everybody wants you to move, do you believe that God overrules people? I think it's wonderful. I bless the Lord. I rejoice that God will overrule us sometimes if we will listen to Him. Don't you see that if it's of any value, it is because of God and not because of man? If it's going to be of any value, it's because that it's of God. James saw this. James saw this weekend. It's all awesome to see God's Spirit being poured out. God knows better than we know what we're doing. Don't forget that. God knows better than we know what we're doing. Don't forget that. You want to walk in the fear of God? Just grab hold of that. God knows better than we know what we're doing. God knows why we're doing what we're doing. Most of the time, we don't know. We need to consider why it is we're doing what we're doing. That'll keep you in the fear of God. The fear of God takes on special significance in the context of these last days that we're living in. We must be sober and walk in the fear of the Lord. The people of God need to walk circumspectly, exactly, diligently, and perfectly in the fear of God. And it's not having cool-headedness. It's not being intelligent. And it's not even being quiet, although some people are very good at being quiet. And that's good. I admire that. And so does God. The Apostle Paul said, understand what the will of God is. Understand what the will of God is. Understand what it is to know the will of God. A good place to start is Exodus chapter 20 or Deuteronomy chapter 5. Isn't that a good place to start if you want to know the will of God? It is in understanding what the will of God is at this particular time that we will better be able to serve Him. If you want God to move, you need to have come to the end of yourself. Because if God is not in it, it will not make any difference. Lives will not be changed. And that's why I don't prepare sermons anymore. I'll either be instant in season, knowing His anointing, or I'll ask somebody else to speak. And I bless God for men of God being raised up. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing it is to hear the Word of God ministered in the power of the Spirit of Truth. Or I'll just read the authorized scriptures. I don't really know how to prepare sermons anymore. And I've really, for the most part, stopped trying. Because every time I've tried, it did not change people's lives. If we're walking in the fear of God, then we will know what God wants us to say and do. If God is leading and directing, if we have come to the end of ourself, then we're walking in the fear of God. And the right and powerful things are going to happen. The work will not be in vain. People will be changed, and God will be glorified. If God doesn't speak to me, it's time to just sit back and believe that God wants me to listen to someone else do the preaching. And this is for all you preachers out there, and I think every one of you is a preacher out there, sooner or later. Hallelujah. All believers can use more depth in understanding the fear of the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Every one of us can use more depth in understanding the fear of the Lord. If you get new revelations or experiences and understandings of the fear of God, share it with the brethren. Because the fear of the Lord is learned, and there are no copyrights in God's kingdom. If it's from the King, I want to hear it. If you got it from the King, I want to hear it. But if you got some sort of copyright on it, just go ahead and keep it to yourself, all right? The fear of God makes us straightforward in our character. You see, if you know God sees it, what's the point of trying to hide something if God's going to see it? And that's what makes us straightforward in our character. The fear of God keeps us serious, and it keeps us focused. There are those who are experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ to be coming back, but, brethren, they're not preparing for His coming. See, we're going to be the ones who experience this glorious thing. Do you think people in pre-trib la-la land are preparing for this experience? No. I'll tell you, if people did not know one verse of Scripture, but just had the common sense that God give a goose, they ought to know it makes more sense to prepare for the tribulation and get surprised by the rapture than it does to be preparing for the rapture and get surprised by the tribulation. I mourn about these things. I don't know what to do. I wrote a book about it. We've got a website, and I bless God, Brother James has finally organized the thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because it's time to get organized. There was a time it was better not to be organized, but it's time to get organized now. But it is this fear of God that makes us very straightforward in our character. See, if we know that God sees it, what's the difference if other people see it or they don't see it? You know, we ought to remember God sees it. And that fear of God is going to keep us serious, and it's going to keep us focused. And it's sad how many people who are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ coming back in great power and glory that are not preparing for His coming. See, they're not serious. The churches are filled with them. Walking in the fear of God means that we do not fear either men or circumstances. Our important fellowship is with the Lord. That's the main fellowship. Our main important fellowship has to be with the Lord, not the church folk. Now, we love the church folk. Oh, and it's great when the brethren can come together and go through such a strong book as Joel and not hold anything back. And nothing was held back. When the man of God brought forth the word tonight, he didn't hold nothing back. He told it just the way it is written. Glory to God. He was serious about what he was doing. He was in the fear of God in what he was doing. And that's what walking in the fear of God means. He wasn't worried about what you and me thought about what he was saying. He knew he'd get corrected if he said something wrong, but he wasn't worried about whether you liked it or whether you didn't like it. He saw them people come in and poof out. He may mourn for them, but he wasn't going to change what God gave him to do because of it. He was in the fear of God, not in the fear of man. And walking in the fear of God means that you do not fear either men or the circumstances. We do what we do and say what we say to impress God. And I'll tell you what, that sure is not going to impress the religious church folk today. That's a fact. Is it possible to watch and be sleeping at the same time? I'll tell you, this can be done. The policeman in the park patrol car is a good example. You may think he's watching, but he could be sleeping. He's watching, but he's not serious if he's sleeping. He ain't going to catch too many lawbreakers if he's sleeping, is he? During that agony in the garden, Yeshua said, "Watch and pray." Be serious, brethren, in your watching. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. In these last days, God wants us not to only watch spiritually, but for us also to be seriously involved in our physical lives. We have to bring our flesh under subjection. Our flesh is causing a lot of trouble. Do you know that? Y'all know that? Our flesh is causing a lot of trouble. Weakness to sleep comes from the flesh. The spirit wants to pray. Have you ever woke up early in the morning wanting to pray, but you start to pray and fall asleep? It happens to me. Sometimes I read my Bible and I'll doze off while I'm reading it. You probably have not heard too many people in the pulpit tell you these things. I'm serious, brethren. That's the flesh. We sleep away our time. Walking in the fear of God also means being serious, quiet, and plain or subdued, and is characterized by self-control and not indulging in the lusts of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's a matter of saying no to those things which the flesh lusts after. We are to be seriously diligent and deliberate in our character. We're talking about being composed and using the brains that God gave us, quickened by the Holy Ghost. And to be serious means to be extremely diligent. It even means to be grave. And the Bible even says that, be grave. That means very serious. We should be dignified in our conduct in these critical days. There are many Christians who are not serious today. They hear the Word of God, and they're still not serious. They're not diligent to bring the flesh into subjection. They're not disciplining themselves. They're not doing their own part. They expect God to do everything. I hope you can hear me correctly about this. There is a job for you and me to do. What God will do, He will do. You see, God did not put us in some place. It's like if you have to go to the store, God doesn't put you in your car. You got to drive yourself to the store. You know, God doesn't translate me down to the post office. I got to get up and walk to the post office. We have to do something. We have to drive ourselves. We have to get up and do something. There's a responsibility in these last days. We are to watch and be serious. We should know what God is doing. We should know which way the wind is blowing. We should go the way God Almighty would have us to go. We need to go with Him. And that's why the Bible says, watch. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. See, you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. God is not going to make the choices for us. Salvation is for whosoever will. You've got to do the willing. And if you will to do the will of God, then the power of the Holy Ghost is available. But when you exercise your self-will against the will of God, the Holy Spirit shuts right down. There's a part that we have to do. God will do His part. But we've got to do our part. We've got to make the right choices. Now, sometimes things can get so bad where our will is taken from us. God ain't going to take it, but the devil will sure take it. The devil is trying to get possession of our will, because if he has got possession of our will, and salvation is for whosoever will, we're in real trouble, aren't we? See, but God, the true God, is the God who sets free from bondage. God wants you to will. God insists that you make the choice. God insists that you will. God limits himself in regard to your freedom to choose and to will. Satan won't respect your will. Satan wants to steal your will. Satan wants to possess your will. Satan wants to take your freedom, and he'll use any means to get away with doing that. These are perilous times, brethren. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the crooked and perverse mouth. God hates pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the crooked and perverse and lying mouth. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. The governors had taken of them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants have rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of God. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, or taking of gifts. David was a servant of the Lord. What makes one wicked is that he saith within his heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. That's what makes one wicked. Did you catch that? What makes one wicked is that he saith within his heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. He thinks that God does not know what he is thinking. That's what people who do not have the fear of God think. They think that God does not know what they're thinking. The wicked does not remember that God knows what he does and what he speaks and what he thinks. The wicked doesn't seem to understand that. The wicked does not understand that God knows what he's doing and God knows what he's saying and God knows what he's thinking. And beyond that, God knows our motives. We don't. No, we don't. Except by the Word of God, we cannot know why we're doing what we're doing. Most people never think about it. But see, God knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart, and we don't like to look at them. Because Jim's heart is more deceitful than Satan. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. That means more deceitful than Satan. Your heart, child of God, is more deceitful than the devil himself to you. Oh, I have a pure heart. No, you're going to be deceived about something else if you think that. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, that's the problem. He does and you don't. That is what the problem is. See, God knows our motives, and we don't. And we don't like to look at that desperate wickedness that's still there in our heart. We don't like to take a look at it. But you see, God knows what's in our heart. You see, the wicked thinks he can hide something from God. And we all fall in this wickedness once in a while. Somebody needs to shake us. Somebody needs to love us enough to tell us, hey, child of God, you think God doesn't know what you're doing? Well, I know you're fooling me. That ain't no problem. If you want to fool me, go ahead and knock yourself out. But you think God doesn't know what you're doing? That's love, baby. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Boy, haven't we seen that? We've seen that, though, haven't we? We've seen that. So then walk circumspectly, knowing that God watches your every step and knows your every thought. Walk in obedience to God's commands and ordinances, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord. Faithfully. Faithfully. You know how to tell a person of faith? They're faithful. That's how you know people of faith. They're faithful. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. We need to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He has given us commandments, not suggestions. It's not legalism to keep his commandments. It's simple obedience. Otherwise, you do not have the fear of God. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. And the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the top of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hallelujah. We need to walk in the fear of God. And I tell you, brother, it may not just be the beginning of wisdom. It may be the whole ball of wax. Because the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.